Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Sunday on WGN, time for our Food Time Show, Chicago Radio's original cooking and dining show, heard every Sunday at this time. It is a beautiful sunny day outside. Forget how cold it is outside. I hope a lot of you are inside today getting ready for Thanksgiving coming up. I went to the grocery store yesterday to get ready for Thanksgiving. And it was complete pandemonium. 7 o'clock in the morning, complete pandemonium in the grocery store. Because everybody's trying to get, you know, they're trying to get in and out before the crowds, trying to get things before things get picked over. This is by far the busiest cooking week of the year, for the traditional meal. And that's why the Sunday before Thanksgiving every year, we always dedicate it to simply taking your questions and answering your questions about problems that you may be having in the preparation right now, of defrosting, of storage, side dishes, appetizers, preparation of the bird, other suggestions. Any question is on the table today. 312-981-7200. I will attempt to throw some of my own expertise into this, but mostly we will turn to Chef John Abels, who is a chef instructor at Le Cordon Bleu Culinary School, who is back with us again. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm great, Dean. Thanks again for having me.
So
happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Is this a crazy time for you guys there as well, or does it completely slow down?
Oh, food never slows down. Neither does culinary education.
Yeah, I guess so. So what's going on in at Le Cordon Bleu a couple of days before Thanksgiving?
Well, we're just kind of winding down into our third week. We've prepared a food drive to help out some needy families in the military. And just winding down the week.
Is part of the training for your students, this kind of preparation for Thanksgiving, or is it a completely different kind of thing that you're doing at Le Cordon Bleu?
We are, we prepare them for their careers, and one of the kind of ancillary ways that we teach them also is that one of the best ways that we can give back is through food. So we do a lot of community outreach, not just around the holidays, but especially, during the course of the year, serving underserved communities.
Okay, so I want to get to the calls and the texts. 312-981-7200. Any question about the preparation of your Thanksgiving meal, main dishes, appetizers, desserts, side dishes, whatever it is. 312-981-7200 to call or text for Chef John. But just in a general sense now, if you're having a big get together for Thanksgiving, Chef John, what should you be doing right now? What should you be thinking about? What should be going on in your kitchen right now?
Well, right now I've done all my menu planning. I've got a good portion of the food already done. Minimal preparations are going to start today. I've got to start by brining my two 23-pound turkeys because I got a lot of mouths to feed, lots and lots of mouths to feed, and then building some appetizers around that. Not just your typical cheese tray or anything like that, but I did a little R&D yesterday. I bacon-wrapped Brussels sprouts, and my God, they were good.
Boy, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
I've had the roasted Brussels sprouts with bacon sprinkled into it,
mm-hmm.
but the wrapping each individual Brussels sprout, or like a half a Brussels sprout?
A half of a Brussels sprout. Yeah. Yep, half a Brussels sprout, wrap it in half a piece of bacon, little cracked black pepper, little salt on the top, and then the minute they're nice and brown, come out of the oven, you drizzle some maple syrup on them, makes it even better.
Holy smokes. So are you doing anything to the Brussels sprout ahead of time, or is it all getting baked together?
It gets baked together.
So you've got
nice and simple.
Trim the Brussels sprout, cut it in half,
right.
Wrap it in a little piece of bacon with a toothpick?
With a toothpick, Yep, most definitely.
And then how long does that go in the oven?
That went for about 25 minutes until however crispy you like your bacon.
Oh, man, that ever sounds good. So you take it out, drizzle it with maple syrup, and that's it.
Let the maple syrup just kind of rest. It'll still continue to carry over, cook a little bit, and the maple syrup just forms this nice little glaze on top of the bacon.
That sounds like a fantastic side dish.
Definitely.
We talked about brining those turkeys, those gigantic turkey/Volkswagens that you're going to be serving. Why do you brine your turkeys?
Well, you know, a lot of times when you go to season your bird, you're not getting the meat fully seasoned. So I have an injector needle and a favorite brine that I use, you know, good salty brine with some you know, fresh thyme, some fresh sage muddled in there. And I really want to get down into the center of the meat, the center of the breast, the center parts of the meat of the leg. I want that flavor to go all the way through. You know, basting does one thing, but getting the, you know, getting every little bit of the meat with some sort of flavor in it is really, really key. And brining helps keep it moist.
So the injection process, what's the fluid that you are injecting into the bird?
So it's a salt, sugar, water mixture, and then you can add any other flavorings that you want, depending upon the size of the protein that you're injecting, would gauge, you know, how much solution to make. But it's really that simple: salt, sugar, and water. Some folks will put a curing salt in there, but that's more for when you're injecting a ham, when you want to retain the color of the ham, retain the, you know, the bright pink color. But with a piece of poultry, it's just not necessary.
Is there a way to calculate one part of this, two parts of that, so, you know, something like that?
Yeah, it's I gauge it a cup to every pound of the bird. Because a lot of the brine will go in, and then some of it will come out as well. I have these gigantic, basically deli pickle buckets that my birds are brining in right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you've got two gigantic birds like that, I guess you would. And how long do you soak them then?
I'm going to do 48 hours, and then give them a really good rinse, and then prep them for Thanksgiving.
Okay, so when you're prepping for Thanksgiving, what do you do with that? After you take it out, you rinse it.
Take it out, rinse
salt,
it.
Salt and pepper, or what else do you put?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Pat it dry, then salt and pepper definitely on the outside. But before all that, I grab as much butter as I possibly can, and I get underneath the skin of the breast with, you know, a good stick of butter on each breast, especially a bird of that size. And then I'm going to take some fresh sage, some fresh thyme, put that up underneath the skin of the breast as well, so that not only is the you know, the sage and the thyme going to flavor the meat, but the butter is as well, and the butter is acting as kind of that browning agent.
Yeah,
and protects the breast from drying out.
Okay, and then into the oven. What's the formula for roasting the bird?
So for my bird, I start with a really, really high sear. I don't start low and then elongate the cooking process. I start with a 500-degree sear.
Oh, wow.
To get a nice, beautiful brown, golden brown coating on the outside.
Most people do that at the end of the process. You do it first to seal it.
I do it at the beginning, yes.
Seal in the moisture?
Exactly. Seal in everything, yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Most definitely. Before that even happens, I've got all of my root vegetables, like parsnips and sweet potatoes and carrots and onions and celery. Those are all laying underneath the bird itself. And then I rest the bird on top of that. And then that cooks. Everything cooks together. Of course, after the searing is done, I'll probably put quart and a half, maybe 2 quarts of stock on top of that, in with the vegetables to kind of let the vegetables not burn. And then the fun thing that I do after I pull the bird out, let it rest before it's carving, I take all of those vegetables and put them in my food processor, and that becomes my gravy.
Oh, wow.
I don't do a typical gravy.
Oh, wow. So you're taking all the drippings that have come out of the bird in with all the root vegetables and puree them to make them. Wow, what a delicious gravy that must be.
Yeah, absolutely. And it helps me because I tend to try to eat gluten-free. So, and it helps all the other gluten-free friends that I have, when they're like, oh, this is gluten-free gravy. This is awesome. It's a bright orange gravy. It's delicious.
And you're making it without flour. It's got to be fantastic. So you sear for the 500 at 500 degrees for how long?
That's on average. Again, it's your each oven is different. I'm saying with my oven, it's anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes, just okay. until I get that nice golden brown that I want to achieve.
So look for the golden brown. That's really what you're trying to do. And then you lower the temperature to what?
375.
For about how long?
That's, you know, then you go back to the formula, 15 minutes for a pound.
Okay.
But I take my meat thermometer and I stick it in the thigh, probably about hour four. Just to make sure that it's gone, you know, it's gone through. And I'll definitely put the thermometer in the breast because the breast is the thicker part. And that's going to tell you whether or not if it's hitting 165, your bird is good to go.
You're good to go. And then you let it rest before you carve it and it should be good to go. All right. Exactly. We'll take a quick break here and then we'll get to some calls for Chef John from Le Cordon Bleu Culinary School. 312-981-7200 when we come back on WGN. It's a beautiful day. Beautiful, sunny, and cold. Perfect day for getting ready for Thanksgiving Day, answering your cooking questions. Everything Thanksgiving today on our Food Time Show with Chef John Abel, chef instructor, Le Cordon Bleu Culinary School. Anything that you're having a little trouble with, curiosity about, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. And Elaine, thank you for holding on. You are on WGN.
Hello.
Hi,
how are you?
Good.
Hey, I have a question. I'm making a leg of lamb. The butcher is going to take out the meat around the bone, but put the bone back in. And I was wondering what spices I could use. I have fresh basil and mint from my garden that I dried. So I figured those would be good with olive oil, but what else?
Oregano, definitely. Maybe some lemon zest. Little salt, those will work really, really well together.
When I've done leg of lambs, Chef, and also Elaine, I poke the leg of lamb. I make holes in it with my knife and stick in full cloves of garlic.
Definitely.
In the meat, and it's so delicious, that roasted garlic flavor that you are essentially injecting into the meat itself.
Right.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I'm sorry. No, I also like to, personally, just on my leg of lamb, I like to rub it in mustard before I even put any of the spices on, like a good Dijon mustard, and that way it forms a really nice crust and helps keep the meat really, really juicy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mustard's a great thing.
Now, can I prepare that Wednesday, put the mustard on Wednesday, and then let all the herbs and things rub in and then cook it on Thursday?
Yes. Yeah, that'll actually the mustard will actually help to start to flavor the meat as well because it's got the little bit of vinegar in it, so it'll help with marination, most definitely.
So there's so many different kinds of mustard. What kind do you prefer to use?
My preferred is just a simple Dijon mustard, not grainy, just nice and smooth, so it rubs on gently.
Not the honey versions, just plain old Dijon mustard.
Plain old Dijon. Go with the Grey Poupon.
Okay, great. Now, how long do I cook it for and at what temperature to make it, not too dry?
Sure. No, to give it a good crust, I would say 375. And again, depending upon, now, Elaine, how big is it? How big is the leg?
10 and 12 pounds.
It's 12?
About 10. Yeah, 10 and 12.
Okay, about 10, 12 pounds. Sure. No, I mean, that same rule usually applies when you're talking about lamb. Leg of lamb, you don't want it to go too far because then it can get tough, but you want to get a good medium. I like medium rare, but a good medium just to be sure. A lot of those leg muscles that wrap around that bone tend to be a little bit tougher. So, give it a good sear at 375 or 400 degrees for about 20 minutes just until you get a nice crust going, and then drop your temperature down to 350 and let that cook. Keep your meat thermometer nearby, and you want to get that to at least 155 degrees, a little bit less than a poultry.
Okay, great. I'm so excited. We're so excited for something different for Thanksgiving this year.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Sounds delicious. Enjoy.
Take care. Have a great one.
Sounds fantastic. Thank you for the call. Here's Marianne next with Chef John from Le Cordon Bleu. Hi, you're on WGN.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to ask, I have a recipe for stuffed mushrooms, and one of the ingredients calls for beef pate. Could you tell me what that is?
Pate, it's really just, you can go to one of your better grocery stores. It's generally a mix of liver, other seasonings, and usually some added fat. It's kind of like a, how can I compare it? Have you ever had liver sausage?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. It's very similar to that. It's just, it has other things prepared with it. A lot of times shallots, wine, other internal organs. It's very, very smooth. And but it has, it definitely has a very forward taste. So if you're not familiar with, you know, having a liver pate, it might be something that, you know, taste it first. You know, if you go into like a Whole Foods or something like that, or Trader Joe's, that might give you a sample. That okay. would be one way to determine whether or not you like that.
How are they asking you to use the beef pate with the stuffed mushrooms?
Oh, with the mushroom stems and then also Parmesan cheese.
So you're taking the stem off, you're chopping up the stems, Parmesan, and the beef pate, and then putting it back into the mushroom cap?
Right, right.
Do you have another way, chef, of maybe without the beef pate? Because I think that's a very acquired taste myself.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you might want to do something as simple as just, you know, maybe getting some shredded chicken or some shredded beef and do kind of the same thing. Because it would be, or even just some other vegetables if you wanted to keep it vegetarian. But if you wanted to serve something a little bit fancier, you know, maybe what I've done in the past, I'll admit it, I don't have time to cook all the time when I come home. But I'll pick up a roasted chicken.
Or probably don't want to, right?
True. Or I'll just pick up a rotisserie roasted chicken from the store and shred the meat off of that and then use that for various things. And, you know, one of these applications could be, take a little bit of the chicken, chop it up even finer, mix it in with the Parmesan cheese. You don't necessarily need breadcrumbs. Parmesan cheese will melt it nicely all together. If you wanted to keep that sort of Italian flavor, maybe a little dried basil, dried oregano in the meat-cheese mixture, and let them go that way. The mushroom I would use for that would probably be, though, like a baby cremini, like a baby portobello mushroom.
Okay, thank you
bigger.
So much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. Right. Yeah, I haven't done stuffed mushrooms in a long time, but when I have, chef, I've taken shrimp, chopped it up, you know, and diced it very small with the mushroom stems, with I think I've used Parmesan with it, breadcrumbs, Italian seasoning breadcrumbs. Put that back in with a little dab of butter on top of each one and baked them, and they were fantastic, if I
Delicious.
Remember correctly.
Oh, sure. You put crab and shrimp in anything, it takes it to another level.
It really does. Thank you for the call. Here is Carol. Hi, you're on WGN. Hi, Carol.
Oh, hi. I had an interference there. Hi, I'm calling about, and I appreciate this call being taken. When you take the turkey out, you're supposed to let it rest for 45 minutes to an hour. Is that right?
It can rest. I mean, I let mine rest probably a half of an hour. It's just letting those juices go back to where they need to within the meat.
Okay.
I always keep it covered. I always keep it covered with foil, though, in its entirety.
Oh, you do keep it covered. That was my next question.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, it won't stay warm. So you do keep it covered. That was my main question.
Yeah, and I'm very lucky. I have some great neighbors who have an extra stove that they don't use.
Ah.
So I keep all of my other food hot in a low oven.
You have a prep kitchen someplace. So if
yes.
if someone does the pre-slicing of the bird, you know, how do they keep that warm? I mean, how do you reheat some of the things that you may do the day before, or even including, if you know, slicing the turkey ahead of time and then reheating it just before you serve it.
Right. Yeah. Well, if you're going to pre-slice the, you know, take the turkey breast off, slice that. You can always keep that on a platter covered with foil. You know, put a little stock in the bottom, maybe even a little bit of the gravy underneath the meat, something to keep it moist. Wrap it tightly in foil, and then just put it in a really low oven, 150 to 170 degrees, no more than that.
Okay, so just low oven, but keep some moisture in there with it so it doesn't dry out.
Definitely.
All right. Hope that helps you, Carol.
Oh, thank you so much. It does.
Very good.
My mind is relieved.
Good.
Excellent.
Happy Thanksgiving. A quick break and then more of your calls on the phone and text 312-981-7200 WGN. Chef, the 708 area code says, can you give us some tips on deep frying a turkey?
Stay far away from it once the bird goes in.
Yeah,
no, it, actually,
that's all I ever hear.
Yeah, it needs to be brined, definitely. That's another one of those when you take it out of the brine, you're definitely going to want to pat it really, really dry, because before you put it into that deep fryer, it's got to be as dry as possible. But no, there's really no tricks to that. It's just deep fry it until the bubbles pretty much stop. You got to maintain a certain heat, a certain steady heat on the gas burner in order for it not to burn instantaneously.
What about seasoning?
Seasoning, I strictly use the brine for. So you're going to inject into that brining liquid all the kind of herb flavor that you want, and let that brine sit for quite a few days before you even dunk the turkey in it, because that way the brine has enough time to really meld all the flavors together. And in that particular case, I'm using fresh thyme, fresh rosemary,
right,
fresh sage,
yeah,
so to really get those flavors in there.
Get those vibrant flavors in there. Okay. 773 says, can you make mashed potatoes the day before?
You can, and I recommend doing them early. I would recommend using Yukon Gold potatoes, because they're a lot creamier. They're not as mealy as a russet or an Idaho potato. And when you heat them up, they go back to that creamy consistency. An Idaho potato generally won't. They get a little bit gluey after a bit of time. You can always add a little bit more hot butter and hot cream if they do happen to seize up just a little bit. But I would recommend, yes, because I'm going to be doing a lot of my prep the day before, too.
Here's the 815 area code that says, the hardest thing that we find about Thanksgiving is what we call crunch time, getting everything done at once. Potatoes to be mashed, turkey carved, gravy made. My husband came up with the idea of putting the mashed potatoes in a crock pot. What do you think of that?
I do. Anything that you can get done ahead of time and just hold hot, like Crock-Pot has those new systems where three of them attach to one another, that's been a lifesaver for me for parties. So you get enough stuff done. If you have a warming drawer attached to your oven, that's a great spot to hide things. If you got a neighbor that's not going to use their oven, that's a great place to store things. And a lot of times too, I'll get my carrots cooked the day before and corn taken care of the day before and all those things, and just pop them in the microwave with a quickness so that you don't have to worry about having to pull everything together all at one time. Last thing you should want to have to be doing is just carving that turkey so it's super fresh and have everything else already laid out.
Here is Rich on the phone at 312-981-7200. You're on WGN.
Yes, Jeff. This ain't exactly Thanksgiving question, but with the holidays coming, could you tell me, I don't want to sound really stupid, but if you want to boil a lobster, to make one, I want to make one for my wife on her birthday, but is it as simple as just when do you put lobster in? Do you bring the water to a boil, or do you do anything else to the water?
Yeah, go through the process here, John.
I really don't know anything about it.
Sure, no, absolutely. You can do this one of two ways. I mean, I'm a pro, so I don't even do the boiling of the lobster. Just from my own perspective, it's a little inhumane. But if you want to start with the boiling water, you definitely want to season the water. I love throwing a little bit of Old Bay and some lemon in there just to get some flavor going, so that once the lobster does cook, it has some flavor already infused into it. One thing I would recommend that you do as well is, if you have a long skewer, is to take that and put it in the tail from where the fins meet the tail, just so that once the lobster is cooked, the tail won't curl up on you. You know how it normally does; it curls underneath.
Right.
You want to keep that skewer. The skewer is not going to hurt it. The lobster is going to feel it, but it's not going to hurt it too much. They don't have much of a central nervous system.
Chef, how do you know when the lobster's done, where it's maybe not overcooked or something? So you say bring the water to a boil, then you throw lobster in?
Yeah, then you can put your lobster in, and literally once it turns bright, bright red, I mean, you're talking a whole of about, depending upon the size of the lobster, and most lobsters that you can buy are about 2.5-3 pounds, unless unless you want to splurge on something bigger. But a 2.5-3 pound lobster is only going to take about 6 minutes or so to cook.
Now, you said that you don't do the boiling. How do you do yours, John?
I actually, it's going to sound inhumane, but I take the tip of my chef's knife. And there's they basically have three sections to their body, right behind where their cerebral cortex would be. I take my knife, put it there really, really quickly, and then pull the knife through the front of the lobster's face, if you will, and that cuts off any nerves. You know, the old story, people hear their lobster screaming when they throw it in a pot of water. It's not the lobster screaming. It's steam escaping from its shell.
Yeah, but it does sound like
it does sound like a bit of a scream, but
yeah. John, good luck with that. I think any way you do it, pretty much there's going to be a little cruelty. Yeah, I don't know if you people know this, but all the turkeys and everything, all living beings, all living things right before we kill them and eat them. Bobby, you're on WGN.
Hi there, Chef. Thank you for taking my call. I'm having great angst about whether to make my turkey the day before, slice it, lay it in the pan with a little bit of gravy, and free myself up. Old school thought is that anything on the second day tastes better, or is it really, you know, better one way or the other? Should I make it the day of and, you know, wait for that presentation and slice it?
Chef, what's your take on that? Day before or no?
Whatever works for you, it depends on how many people you're cooking for. If that's going to help you get that turkey to the table a lot quicker.
But what about in terms of, you know, is she going to sacrifice quality and taste by doing before?
No, I think to her point, you know, to me, even turkey tastes better on the second day as well. So, you know, just keep it nice and moist. Pour a lot of gravy over it. You know, whether your guests like the gravy or not, broth alone isn't really going to help it. The gravy will help to adhere. And then once you go to heat it back up, it'll act as that moistening agent. So I think it's a great idea.
All right, there you go. You save yourself a bunch of time. Bobby, thank you for the call. And, Chef, thank you very much. Great information. People want to learn more about Le Cordon Bleu. What's the best way to do that?
Visit us at www.chefs.edu.
Good deal. It's Chef John Abel's Le Cordon Bleu Culinary School. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thanks. Same to you, Dean.